If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money-back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free. 866-229-3663. Or online at thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663, or on the web at thepowerherbs.com.
One, two, three.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. That's what we like to do. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. And thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. And we are going to be talking about, for the first part, some plagues. The plagues to come. And what may be in all of that. You know, it's going to be interesting. And we are going to be talking about that and our quack report and some other things. But before we get to that, a big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm hitting the knees, seeking Lord's face, and minding the time because it grows short. Hope you are too. And I want to just reiterate, I've read this to you before, but I think it's an encouraging word that we all need to hear over and over again. This is Isaiah 41. It says, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Well, if that's not a promise, I don't know what is. I mean, I'll take that promise over any promise you get in the world. Take it to the bank. That's what it is. So mind the time, seek the Lord's face, have a relationship, read your scripture, and be in contact with him. And he'll guide you. He'll talk to you and guide you so you won't have to fear. And in this time, in this day and age, that's real important. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Okay, so here we are, and we're going to be talking about a new diabetes vaccine. Remember we talked about them replacing all these pills and things and going into injectable form? Well, this is over, I believe, in Sweden. Researchers at the Limpong University, they have an injectable diabetes vaccine for type 1 diabetics. It's injecting a protein they call GAD, which is glutamic acid decarbonate, and it affects a patient's lymph nodes and supposedly helps them produce insulin. So patients with type 1 diabetes, the body's immune system starts attacking cells which make insulin, and these types of cells get destroyed. So anyway, they don't have anything for type 2 diabetes yet, but they're retraining the diabetic's body to tolerate the new acid, the GAD. All right, and last but not least in the quack report, here's a poll. 1 billion people worldwide say they're unwilling to get the COVID-19 vaccine. So this is a Gallup poll. They estimated that more than 1 billion people across the globe are not going to get the COVID vaccine. And researchers surveyed about 116 countries, and they calculate about 68% of adults are willing to get inoculated. But that's still below the 70 to 90% scientists need for that herd immunity nonsense. At least 38 countries will reach their 70% level this year. A study pointed out people living in Eastern Europe and the Soviet states say they're not going to get the vaccine. Now, you got to admit, the Gallup poll was conducted in 2020, before even a vaccine was available. So now, according to U.S. Centers for Disease Control, more than 130 million Americans have been fully vaccinated against COVID, representing about 39.2% of the total U.S. population. So 53% of Americans, they say, will get vaccinated. In March 2021, that number did increase to 74%. So people are lining up for that and getting their vaccine. Interesting, isn't it, Frank, how those numbers kind of just pop up? And that wraps the quack report. All right, so we are going to be talking about some plagues to come. I mentioned this, you know, if they want to reduce the population through vaccination, you know, we've got probably 6 or 7 of these plagues to go to get to 500 million on this planet. But we're going to talk about
some other scientific research on this, because we only have to really reference the Bible. If you open the Bible, you can read about plagues there, plagues that will strike living things in the end times even. So if we're honest, though, with ourselves, we can understand that modern plagues are man-made. And the debate, if it's intended, has the scientific community divided. So a lot of this is genetically edited stuff, pathogens now. History often repeats itself, and if we can see from empirical history that plagues are random and often rare. Random and rare. So why do we have so many plagues today? Seems like they're kind of like every 2 years we get something. So is the world overcrowded and global warming? Is it stirring up the plague genie? I don't think so. So we're going to take a look at what's occurring with the modern plague phenomenon. First, let's go over a little history of plagues. Plagues have been with us since Adam and Eve got evicted. Okay, and we recount all the plagues mankind has weathered. If we did that, it would fill volumes. So in the 17th century, the Western world, they endured the devastating smallpox, the smallpox plague, and it was really difficult to find a family spared by that plague. And let's see, tuberculosis and malaria were also very common diseases at that time, very common indeed. And the more virulent infectious diseases, they tend to spread by things like fleas and direct human contacts. So back then, housewives drew on their vast, resources, their Christian faith, their medicinal herbs, to help steal as many as possible from the mortality rate. So that's what they did in the ancient world. All right, so what of this report I wanted to read to you? This is in 2005, but it's an interesting thing what this report reads regarding what's going on now. So this is a report published by Johns Hopkins University Press. It was written by a journalist, Thomas Abraham, and his report caused a stir, and even the National Library of Medicine Institute of Health mentioned it in a writing. So the report was for general researchers and historians and also just the average reader. And Abraham pays tribute to the amazing run of plagues that has assaulted society. So he lists the West Nile virus, the anthrax, the SARS, your severe acute respiratory syndrome virus, the bird flu, the H1N1, and he compared them to the 1918 Spanish flu. So he goes on to clamor that authorities are not doing enough and are floundering in a sea of unpreparedness. He is citing that there needs to be, more controls in place to predict such outbreaks for disease. He even touches on the fact that disease can be used as a bioweapon upon anyone. He, interesting though, Abraham mentions using global dissemination, quarantine, isolation, and tracking methods, which are all being talked about now and a lot of it being used now. Now, much of Abraham's research for this report that he did, a lot of his research was furnished to him by the World Health Organization. So there is also a mention in his report that disease knowledge and super spreader viruses is most valuable to the world. And most alarming, though, is Abraham is suggesting the U.S. should outsource leadership and control of plagues to other nations or the World Health Organization. Whew, that's kind of scary to think about that, Frank. So here's a quote. This was his report, which was titled 21st Century Plague, The Story of SARS. So he was railing on about SARS a bit. But he says this, governments have to recognize that a disease in any one part of the world is a threat to every part of the world and should work together to fight common threats. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, not when disease is used as a bioweapon. So it's kind of as if Abraham had this clear view into the future. He also recommends, get this, everyone keep a lookout for dangerous plagues. He says, quote, scientists around the world are keeping a wary eye on the new strains of bird influenza capable of infecting humans. Other less well-known infectious agents are making similar tentative excursions into our race, probing for weaknesses in our immune defenses. Somewhere on our planet is a new organism, and it's evolving to exploit more than 6 billion people as ready prey, end of quote. Wow. That described humanity like that, as ready prey. Something kind of warped and twisted there, but I think science has a different view on how new organisms evolve, okay? I call it lab evolution because animal diseases that get edited to infect humans, but, you know, the media reports it as a miraculous evolution thing. So plagues are random, and for science to proclaim we're going to have a serious global pandemic within a certain time period is actually science telling us they've planned a plague to be unleashed. Didn't Fauci do that, Frank? Didn't he say after Trump won the election, he says, you know, get ready, in 2 years you're going to have a pandemic? And we did. Yeah, COVID. So bubonic plague now is still around. It infects people every year, but it's not a pandemic scale event. No, you don't really hear much about it. I think a dozen people last year, Frank, got bubonic plague in the United States. Well, let's look at evaluating plagues. What is the MERS, or the Middle East Respiratory Virus? Well, it's a virus that normally infects camels, and science genetically modified it to infect humans. So health authorities have been tracking the development of many deadly pathogens in the last decade, and many of them are rare, exotic, and some are quite deadly. Now, virologists are on the hunt to track down the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, MERS. And in the first place, you know, they're looking at the animal kingdom to try to establish this link to it. So if we look closely, we can establish this trail or pattern of these plagues. When science is able to genetically modify living things, whether it be wheat or pathogens, we have suddenly had this whole slew of new diseases that were a threat to mankind. For instance, you got the swine flu from pigs. You got the hantavirus from rodents. You got the SARS from coronaviruses. You got the Nipah virus from bats, Hendra virus from horses, Ebola from bats, COVID, which is an animal virus genetically modified with a human virus, done in the 1960s. Not a novel virus. It's been here. So Moses actually warned us of a time when there would be plagues not mentioned of in the Bible. If you read Deuteronomy 28, verses 60 and 61, he says, moreover, God will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which you are afraid of, and they will cleave to you. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written of in this book of law, them the Lord will bring upon you until you be destroyed. Now, of course, he was talking to Israel. You know, they had blessings if they were going to be good and obedient, and they were going to have curses if they were going to be disobedient. So he was giving them, you know, here's your choices. You got choices to make. And but I think it's interesting that Moses said, you're going to have the plagues not written of in this book. That's a warning for us. And let's just look at some things we can do for our immune system, because our immune system is very sophisticated and quite capable of defending us. What we do to our bodies can hinder it, so we want to avoid doing that, and we want to help it along so that we can survive these things. So there are some foods you want to avoid and some to consume to help that immune system out. So you want to avoid foods that hinder or lower the natural immunity. So often foods that you crave the most are going to suppress your immune system. Things like sugar, nicotine, alcohol, caffeine. These all have chemicals in them, and they're going to be a problem for the immune system. Also, food allergens are also going to kick up, and your immune system can kind of get off track with that. So you might want to avoid things like non-organic wheat or wheat if you have a sensitivity, dairy, that's cow's milk, eggs, soy, tomatoes, corn, yeast, and shellfish. So the common reaction to those types of foods would be things like headaches, nasal congestion, fatigue, fast pulse rate, digestive upset, mood changes, as well as fluid retention and the inability to lose weight. Now, the immune system friendly foods are going to be your fruits and vegetables, whole grains, legumes, seeds, nuts that don't cause an allergic reaction, and also your protein foods. So let's look at some immune system herbs for a little bit, because there are a lot of herbs out there that can assist our natural immune system response to prevent illness or reduce the recovery time. Now, some herbs can be used as a preventative, and some will help you recover faster from an illness. Astragalus root is one of the most highly respected herbs to help enhance the immune system function and prevent illness. Echinacea root is another used to shorten your duration of illness, help your immune system make more antibodies to get over your infection quickly. Also, peppermint leaf has a diaphoretic property to it. It calms. It has a calming effect to ease the discomfort of a thing like fever without lowering your immunity at all. Ginger root can also calm upset digestive systems and improve circulation to small capillaries. And if you have a vomiting thing going on, I like to combine ginger, peppermint, and fennel in just a little bit of water. And it helps also stop dysentery or diarrhea quickly. Now, to relieve the aches and pains of a flu, I like to use willow bark and meadow sweet. And for coughs, I like to use thyme tincture and marshmallow root. And then you have some herbs that have straight up plague inhibitors in them. For instance, gentian root has a hemorrhagic fever inhibitor, great for things like Ebola. Also, barberry bark inhibits the shingles virus, and astragalus root inhibits the COVID virus, according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health. So you got that straight from the horse's mouth from science. Now, regarding our SARS, MERS, COVID, all these, the swine flu, all these vaccines, all these pathogens, which, you know, they want to create vaccines for. It looks like, you know, we have these not naturally occurring. Scientific medicine wants to create a problem and sell you the antidote for it. So if you're not noticed, you're seeing a lifting across the country now with the restrictions to the COVID pandemic and face mask and restrictions and social distancing and stuff, because it's the drug companies that are lifting. They're given the marching orders. They're lifting the pandemic. And so the agreed-upon government rate of $39 for the COVID vaccine will shift to $200. So the rest of the masses will have to spend more if they want that vaccine. Personally, I'm passing on it. But you can see how this is all playing out. The drug companies don't want to look like they're making a lot of money on a plague, a pandemic. But at the same time, they do want to make a lot of money on it. So they're trying to save face here. And so they're going to lift. They're going to say, hey, we're lifting the restrictions, blah, blah, blah. This has been orchestrated. This has been contrived. This is just a flu influenza that's going to be a problem for a minority, not a majority of people. And many scientists, virologists, doctors have said this, and they all can't be wrong. So, and, you know, we've got that research from 2015 that says astragalus root protects you from COVID. There's 21 therapeutic drugs even that medicine knows about that protects you from COVID, supposedly, you know, malarial type drugs. So interesting, isn't it? So if they're not using the therapeutics and they're pushing the vaccine. This has all been an exercise in making an industry very wealthy and at the same time fulfilling some other things in the agenda. So I think people need to open their eyes to that effect and protect themselves. Because if you didn't catch the other show we did where Salk Institute found that COVID is not a respiratory virus. It is a vascular disease. It undermines the vascular system. And if you missed that show, go back to the archives and listen to it, because this is why so many people are having different side effects from the vaccine. And, of course, drug companies like to hide behind that, say, well, it's not the vaccine or everybody would have the same problem. Well, not if it's vascular. Vascular is throughout the whole system. So wherever your weakest link is, it's going to corrupt that. So do check the archives if you missed that. And go to the powerherbs.com and click on Herb Talk, and you can pull it up there. It's listed by date and topic. And while you're there, sign up for their free online newsletters and get their free catalog on their immune support, metabolic support, and organ cleansing products, because they are primo professional strength formulas that you can't get in stores. The powerherbs.com, give them a call. If you don't have the internet, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. The powerherbs.com is the web address, and that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Get empowered, take the power back, and protect yourself from plagues. Yeah, pathogen protection. And you know what? God promises he'll protect you with his herbs, because he said so in the Bible. Herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. God can't lie. Got to take a little break, but we're going to be coming right back with more information. So stay with us.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663. For international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll-free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Are you prone? prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll free. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663 or on the web at thepowerherbs.com.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Hey, thanks, Frank. All right. Yes, that was a clip on Bill Gates, I believe, wasn't it? Yeah, I mean, they got sterilization mechanisms in these vaccines now. So, yeah, they'll be lowering the population, all right. Well, we're going to be talking about now for a few minutes. I get frequent calls about bladder issues, constipation issues. So I thought we'd touch on that a little bit. But there seems to be, you know, an increased rise in people with things like that, not just in America, but all over the world. So, you know, a lot of products out there are promoted to handle incontinence and things like that. There's surgical devices that are implanted in patients that supposedly handle that. But there's another way to handle a lot of that stuff, in my opinion. So we're going to be talking about that. But, you know, scientific medicine kind of plays up to prevalence. As you get older, you're going to have this type of dysfunction. And they want you to put you through preventative studies and stuff like that, but they don't prevent anything. So we're going to look at some bladder problems. U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health tells us bladder problems fall under the expertise of urology. So if you go to a urologist, he's going to diagnose you. Bladder dysfunction often causes a lot of social stress and financial stress. The type of dysfunction can vary depending on the severity of that. About 1 in 20 people or 13 million Americans have incontinence issues. So we spend about $11 billion a year on this problem. Now, men and women can experience bladder problems, and women most often see the problems and urologists say even younger women are coming up with urgency issues. And, you know, a lot of times women with childbearing age, you know, can have a prolapse, bladder, and things like that can contribute to that stuff. But typically the condition can get more severe the older you get, usually when you approach 60 years of age, according to reports. Men have an overall lower risk of incontinence compared to the women, statistically. So men have more severe bladder issues, usually occur when in their 80s, not 60s. So when it comes to bladder problems, the severity can range from what's described as a small little leakage to complete emptying of the bladder, a flood, if you will. So the stress seems to be a factor for men and women with regard to incontinence. So women tend to have spikes and episodes of incontinence, whereas men, it tends to be more of a steady increased problem. So there was this incontinence chart. It was developed after 11 studies and combined research. Let's see. So low incontinence issues happens in people, 10% of the people ages 15 to 19. Moderate incontinence, 18% of the people ages 20 to 24. And then severe incontinence in 17%, women ages start at 60 and men between 70 and 80. So it's just kind of shocking. Now, I did hear, Frank, that the people in Japan love adult diapers, the young people. They don't like to stop and waste time going to the bathroom and taking care of business. They'll just wear adult diapers. Now, I can understand somebody on the stock exchange floor or a surgeon in surgery, something like that. But, you know, just because you just don't want to take time out to go to the bathroom, that kind of blows my mind. But they have more adult diapers in landfills over in Japan than they do regular diapers for babies, because, of course, the population birth rate is down. So, you know, obviously we see some gender specifics here with incontinence. Definitely, you know, surgery can influence issues, especially if you get nerve damage somewhere. They're raising some questions about safety with regards to the incontinence surgery that they have. Here is a quote from the Cochrane Systemic Review in 2015. They say, over the last few years, many questions have been raised about safety of incontinence surgery due to implants like artificial mesh. And there have been a number of reports of women suffering pain and injury after surgery due to the devices that were used for non-absorbable plastic. They put non-absorbable plastic, okay. And this is, they say, is a result worldwide in court actions and in some countries suspended the practice altogether. So, yeah. Yeah. So, you're not exhausting your options if you're going to doctors for this. Here is Dr. Abigail Ford, Bradford Teaching Hospital. She said women need to be aware of less evasive alternatives before contemplating any type of surgery. I agree. So it is obvious that there are more long-term trials that are done on devices that are surgically implanted for incontinence. Here's what one physician is saying. This is Dr. Joseph Oga. He's a gynecologist. He says, we need to know more about what happens to women in the long term. This review found 35 trials carried out more than 5 years ago. If women were in these trials, were actually followed up on, we would know much more about how the long-term operation lasts and any critical important information on side effects. So, yeah, I mean, you know, medical device folks, you know, they're not going to do long-term stuff because they don't want to know. They don't want to know. Just like they don't test certain drugs and treatments for cancer because they don't want to know. Because if they find out it does cause cancer, well, then they can't make that product or therapeutic because it'll give you cancer. So they don't want to do those studies. They don't want to do them. And, you know, it costs money to do those kind of studies, and people aren't doing them. Well, let's look at some of the causes of incontinence. Several reasons can develop. stress on the pelvic area, overweight, childbirth, like we mentioned, urinary tract infections, diseases like cancer, nervous system things like Parkinson's, MS, stroke, or diabetes, bowel congestion, kidney or bladder stones, prostate infection, and prostate surgery, cancer treatments like and radiation, and also alcoholism. So stress incontinence in women is common, especially if they've had children. So the stress incontinence is a big thing. And the pelvic floor takes a lot of pressure, and after childbirth, even coughing or sneezing or lifting something a little heavy can cause bladder leakage. So smoking also makes stress incontinence for women worse, and because it produces coughing. And then let's shift to the constipation, and that's a problem in the United States. About 4 million Americans, 1 in 61 people, suffers from frequent constipation. So constipation sends 2 million people to the hospital each year. Very common but not normal to have this and to be stuck on laxatives just to move your bowel. I don't know how many people, Frank, I've talked to over the years that, you know, if they don't have a laxative, they're not moving, period. That's so dangerous. So being reliant on an over-the-counter or prescription drug like that is very dangerous. Now, unfortunately, you know, laxatives, if you use them on a regular basis to move your bowel, what happens is the bowel muscle then becomes dependent on the chemical laxative and then doesn't work. It's sort of like, you know, not using a muscle and it atrophies. See my problem here? See what I'm saying? So now the elderly tend to suffer from a lot of constipation. Those usually over 65 rely on a lot of medications to move them. Or they're on pain medicines. That's the other thing. If you're on pain medicines, pain medicines block the nerve endings so you don't feel the pain, and the nerve endings move the bowel muscle. So those nerve endings become sleepy, and then, of course, they don't move the bowel muscle. So then you're constipated if you're on pain meds. So having a sluggish bowel and experiencing constipation more than occasionally is a sign of imbalance, maybe a disease, and you need to get it corrected. So if constipation is left unresolved, it can lead to even death. So you don't want to go there. About 30 people a year die from that condition, period. So in 2016, Yale University did a report. They discovered that the causes of constipation, that according to them, there really wasn't a clear cause. And they blamed it on a herpes infection. Seriously. They published their report in the journal Cell Host and Microbe, and they claim that a virus can spread from the spinal cord area to the genitals and then to the colon, killing the nerve endings, and then the bowel doesn't move, that's what they're saying. So according to their findings, if it isn't junk science, that people who have contracted chickenpox, Epstein-Barr, cytomegaloviruses, these are all members of the herpes virus family, they're going to have unexplained constipation, they're saying. So if that were the case, constipation rate would be worse than it is. Causes for constipation, let's look at them. Low fiber diet, you know, you're eating too much protein and starch. Too much mucus in the system, in the bowel, from dairy, from cow's milk, cheese, yogurt, ice cream, all that. Pain, you're on narcotic medications that are making your bowel sluggish. Lack of regular exercise also affects the bowel. Antidepressants and acids, blood pressure prescriptions, antihistamines, cold medications or decongestants, calcium and iron supplements, you know, if you're getting, you know, those synthetic things, and also the rotavirus vaccine, which is supposed to stop, you know, diarrhea. Well, all that can be resolved, folks. You know, our creator made sure we had options, natural solutions for everyday problems. Yeah. So, you know, Frank, if a horse gets constipated, It'll kill the horse if you don't get the horse to vacate the bowel, to, you know, move it along. So it's especially these million-dollar thoroughbreds. Oh, the horse gets constipated. Everybody's in a Twitter. So the vets come out, and they do this and they do that, and still bowel's not moving. So then they decide, well, we'll have to do surgery and just open up the bowel and remove all the grass and hay, physically do that, and then stitch the horse back up. I cannot believe they do that. But that's what they do. That's what they do. You know what they do in Latin countries when a horse gets constipated? They give it cayenne pepper. And that stimulates the nerve endings of the bowel to move, and the horse has a bowel movement. Don't have to have surgery. Don't have to risk the horse to any of that. Just cayenne pepper. So, and that works for humans, too, as well. It's a stimulant of the nerve endings. It also improves circulation down there. So if you're looking for a very gentle, non-addictive source to move colon, which will tone the bowel muscle to get it moving and not so sluggish anymore, of course, you can't be taking your, you know, pain narcotics and all this other stuff that messes up your bowel. You have to stop those things. But definitely the herbs will stimulate the nerve endings of the bowel to move and tone the bowel muscle, strengthen it so it's not sluggish, and voila. And you're good to go. So look for Bowel Cleanse Formula A. It's a capsule, and it will move the colon. And it's available by the folks at Apothecary Herbs, so you can contact them at thepowerherbs.com. Go under the Cleanses tab, click on Bowel Cleanse, and you can just buy the Formula A separately. And a lot of people like it, and they'll take it on vacation with them because, you know what, when you're on vacation, you eat the wrong stuff. New stuff, stuff you want to try. I get it. You know, in a new place, look at that. It's great looking food. And all of a sudden, you got problems. So you can take it with you on vacation. So it's Bowel Cleanse Formula A. Go to the powerherbs.com website. If you don't do the internet, you can certainly give them a call toll free at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Get their free product catalog. You can read about it in there. And be empowered. They have lots of things in there. They have kidney bladder cleanse kits. You want to get rid of incontinence? Huh? Yeah. It's all about, you know, toning up and cleaning the organ out. And, of course, not doing what you were doing to make it weak in the first place. Like, you know, lots of alcohol and smoking and antacids and cow's milk and stuff like that. So, you know, what you put in matters. You have to remember that. And what you're putting in the body is having a reaction. And people just don't realize they could be allergic to their diets, causing all these problems. And instead of running to the surgeon, maybe just evaluate what you're putting in. So go to thepowerherbs.com, request their free product catalog, and be empowered. All right, we got a few minutes, so I wanted to really quickly go over some immune system detail on, I guess a little bit more information on what helps and hinders the immune system. So real quick, we talked about sugar lowering the immune system. One candy bar will turn off your immune system for like 8 hours. And alcohol converts to sugar in the system. And tobacco also inhibits oxygen delivery. So sugar, alcohol, tobacco, not getting enough sleep also messes up your immune system. Malnutrition, not getting the right foods, as well as not getting real calcium. I'm not talking from cow's milk. I'm talking about plant-based calcium that the body prefers, because the immune system uses calcium as a flow switch to activate your immune system and then to deactivate it and shut it off when you're well. So it's real important there. And also the things that were really influence, undermine, in my opinion, your immune system are prescription drugs, some over-the-counter medications, and vaccines. Definitely be very conscious of aspirin or Tylenol, anything that lowers a fever. That also cuts off your antibody production. So if you have an infection, it's not going to get resolved if you're taking those things. So, and I cannot believe that's the first thing a doctor says when you got, what, the flu? I feel terrible, doc. I'm burning up. I'm achy. I feel awful. I hurt. Well, go home and take a Tylenol or an aspirin and lay in the bed, drink plenty of fluids. That's what it'll tell you. Well, you just turned your immune system off. The fever gets lowered. The antibodies stop being circulated, and you're just sick for 5 to 7 days. When if you just work with your fever and keep it wet and drink and hydrate, take a few warm baths during the day to lift the achy feeling, take your immune support herbs, you'll be over the flu in 2 days. Two days. Not five, not seven, two. Yep, we just haven't been doing it right. And just think about this now. They've been talking about viral shedding, Frank, right, with the COVID vaccine. We just did a little update the other week where normally if you take an influenza vaccine, any virus vaccine, you're shedding the virus off for like 2 weeks, unless, of course, it's a genetically modified pathogen, and then it's longer. Now they're saying in some cases of COVID, you could be shedding this stuff for like 80 days. Okay, so I've said this before. You've heard me say this, Frank. They start the flu season in October with the flu shots and all the sugar from Halloween. And the flu shots are still being rolled out through November and December, where you have more sweets with Thanksgiving and Christmas. And, of course, you know, the flu season's still in full gear all the way through February, where you have to go through the holidays of New Year's with lots of alcohol that converts to sugar. And then, of course, Valentine's Day. So then all of a sudden, what happens? The flu usually dissipates normally in March and April, and that's it. Well, because all the sugar holidays are over and people stop getting inoculated. People just don't think about these things. And they just think, oh, it's the flu season. Well, we're contributing. We're inviting. We are sending the influenza an engraved invitation. That's what we're doing. So we have to stop and think about what we're doing, what we're putting in the body, what matters, what's hindering the immune system, and what's making us vulnerable to flu. Okay. So by the way, it's just like I said, if you get a fever, febrile seizures are kind of rare. I know doctors will tell you, oh, you can't get your fever too high, you'll have a seizure. That's so rare. It happens with vaccines and head trauma, but it's rare that your fever will give you a seizure. Because your fever is that mechanism that's releasing the antibodies to get you well. Okay. The secret to a fever is don't get dehydrated. Don't let your blood pressure drop. You got to keep drinking. Hydrate. And flush. You're flushing all the virus out that way. The antibodies are killing the virus and the debris needs to be flushed out. So that's important to hydrate yourself. And we just tend to drink the wrong things when we're sick and feeling terrible. What do we drink, Frank? I want a Coke or I want a Sprite full of sugar and caffeine or I want a Dr. Pepper or whatever it is, a Mellow Yellow or something. A lot of caffeine and sugar. Not the right things because caffeine dehydrates you. It's a wrong thing to have. So you want, you know, maybe some herbal teas with no caffeine, water, of course, juices are fine. Usually with the flu, you don't want anything heavy. And try not to drink cold stuff. You know, people like throw it into ice. Ice shocks the stomach, and you're going to be puking that up in a skinny minute. Room temperature water. Sips, just little sips, right? And in some cases, you can take little ice chips and just stick it in your mouth and let it dissolve. And then you swallow that if you're very nauseated. You can do it that way. But usually really cold stuff will shock the stomach and you'll just be throwing it right back up. The other thing that I like to do if I have fever and flu bugs is I like to make just some very light chicken chicken broth. You can have chicken noodle if you want, but just some light chicken broth. And you just don't want a heavy chicken broth. There's too much fat in it, and it'll make you sick, make you nauseated. So very light, light. And I like to, like, on a low simmer, I like to put in a big scoop of minced garlic. You know that, Frank, the garlic man over there. And then I take it off the heat and pour it into either a cup or a bowl, and I let it cool a little bit. So it's not really hot. It's not hot where you have to blow on it to cool it off. It's, you know, you can just drink it. And then what I'll do is I'll put a quarter teaspoon of Echinacea Deluxe in there. Oh. It just perks you right up. It just, you feel like $1 million. And that's what I do. Chicken noodle soup, lots of fluids, you know, baths, and rest. Always get rest, okay? Turn the phone off, for heaven's sakes. Get away from the computer. You know, you can lay in bed and watch TV if you want, but just, you know, try to de-stress. Nothing to stress you, right? You know, if the boss is calling you when you're coming into work, just mute. You know, you gotta get well again. So if you're looking for immune support herbs, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a full line of those. They have targeted formulas, broad spectrum ones. They have pandemic kits, heart attack packs, snake bite kits, pneumonia kits. They got stuff that you're going to use, tools that you'll use, and you'll have instructions on use, and that's important, and product support as well. So the powerherbs.com, give them a call. This is what practitioners would sell you, but you can buy direct. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. If you got email, sign up for their free online newsletters, HealthQuest and the American Survival. They go out each week, and they'll be full of nice, informative, healthy natural therapies that you need to know about and can keep you going and away from the doctor and away from expensive medical bills, of course, and just be feeling great, because God said herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. From Genesis to Revelation, he tells us that, and God can't lie. So believe that and be blessed. Well, I am out of time, but the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.